All right, welcome back. Who's talking second half hour tonight? We thank Barry Parkhill for joining us and talking a little hoops in the first half hour. This is Jim and Frank, by the way, and we're joined on the phone right now by head lacrosse coach Dom Starsha. Frank?
Abbo, high marks for getting the coach's name correct. Dom, we are delighted to have you back, as always, and I'll start with the first question, a little bit more of a layup, I think, than last year. I think we put you on the spot a little bit.
Layup was a basketball term.
I understand.
You know. Oh.
All right. How about a slam dunk? Okay. I've always got to make everything work for basketball for Hobo,
okay.
So he knows what's going on. All right. So, Coach, this year, what expectations should Virginia fans expect of this edition of the Wahoo lacrosse team?
Well, like I say, you know, there's always going to be, you know, some, you know, development that needs to go with the team from one year to another, and there's certainly going to be years when you have significant graduation. But I probably mentioned to you a year ago that our goals don't change a lot from year to year, and we line up in September and thinking we, you know, our goal is to be playing on the final weekend of the season. And I think it's, you know, it may be a little bit more realistic in some years than others. But I think it's, you know, frankly, I think it's a realistic goal in most years. And I think this is a year in which we, you know, sort of probably have a good shot at that, at making that at the end of the day. If we can stay healthy and get better in a couple of spots, you know, we're a little bit more experienced than we thought we might be, you know, with getting the Chris LaPierre back and having a couple of older guys back on the team. So we've got some pieces in place. We're very pleased with the early part of practice and where we've been. We're only going to have one scrimmage before we open up, but everybody's anxious to get to it. And I like what we've seen so far, you know, still going back even to September in terms of the work and the approach of the kids. I think we've got good leadership. So I think realistically, if we can stay healthy and get to it here, I think we have a chance to be playing very, very late in the playoffs.
Well, that's exciting. Would expect nothing less.
Well, thanks very much. You know, it's that sometimes that burden of expectations. You know, we hardly ever get to sneak up on anybody.
But that's true.
For most coaches, it's where you want to be. You know, it's where you want to have your program. I was thinking about Tony Bennett. You know, earlier when they struggled a little bit early, when they, you know, there was such high expectations going into the season, and it's vastly different when those expectations are different. And, you know, now they had a couple of bumps in the road earlier, but now they seem like they're really on a roll and, you know, probably going to become the team that everybody
hoped
that they might be.
This is Hobo, but I do like to plan my Memorial Day weekend around the Final Four with the Hoos. So, you know, make sure my picnic coincides with the games properly.
Well, you know, it's the same weekend as my graduation from college every year, and people keep asking me when I'm going back, and I keep saying, I hope never to college, you know. I hope I'm tied up on Memorial Day weekend every year.
Dom, I see you again. You've got another very robust schedule. You open with Loyola on February the 6th, which is just a few days away. Then you're going to travel down to Richmond and help them baptize their new team, their new season, which is exciting for the Spiders. Then you've got Drexel away, and then Rutgers at home, Mount St. Mary's away, Syracuse at home on February 28th. Oh, by the way, Syracuse and Notre Dame in the ACC. How do you like those apples?
Well, I was when we announced our schedule. My quote with the release of the schedule was that this is sort of epic in college sports. I actually was listening to a football telecast last fall when they made the announcement of Syracuse and Notre Dame coming in the ACC, and I heard a couple of football guys say that that may be the best conference in any sport in NCAA history, and it very well may be. You know, you've got six teams in the conference now, five of whom have won national championships, and the sixth one who's been very good recent years, Notre Dame, and so it certainly doesn't make my life any easier having those programs in the conference. We've played Syracuse for years and years, but it puts a little different edge on it having them in the conference now. And under any different circumstance, we never would have added Notre Dame, a program like that, to what we already had. You know, we had the number one strength of schedule going into the playoffs last year, and if you're saying to me, "Hey, how about adding Notre Dame to that?" you'd think he's crazy, you know. But it's what we've got here for a year now, and And so it's good. It promises to to have produced some exciting lacrosse no matter what. So every way you look, every weekend for fans, there's going to be some great games on tap.
And what's neat is quite a few games are on cable, ESPN3, ESPNU taped LA. I mean, it's Virginia is everywhere. A lot of good games. Let's talk about some of the players. I know you must get excited about some of these guys. You've already referenced shocker, number 44, Chris LaPierre, is back at midfield. Only 6'3", 210, and he's training Thompson Brown from St. Christopher's how to play the game of lacrosse, because they're about the same size, aren't they?
Thompson's actually easily 6'5", or 6'6". I mean, he's a head taller than Shocker, and so now Thompson's been a little nicked up for us in almost the entire preseason. He's got a little back issue, and so he hasn't been able to practice. I'd love to be able to get him out there when we come to Richmond at the end of the week, but it remains to be seen sort of how the week unfolds for him in terms of his physical piece.
Well, thanks for that update. I see Bobby Hill, a senior, back at midfield. You've got James Pannell at attack, 5'10", 175. You've got Scott McWilliams, one of your true leaders there on defense. he's from Mountain Lakes, New Jersey, 6'3", 205, and really leads one of the leaders in the country in ground balls. You've got two Emerys. That's got to be good. You've got Marino and Heller in goal fighting for that position. You've got Ryan Tucker wants to take a 50-foot shot every time you turn around. You got Owen Van Arsdale sneaking around the field with his crafty little stick work. you got a lot of weapons, and you do have some veterans. And let's talk about goalie for a minute. I understand Marino did not play in the scrimmage against Navy, and I hate to say what up with that, but what's going on with that?
A little bit of a team matter that we needed to attend to. Sometimes these boys needed to be a little bit prodded on the early academic things. during the course of a year, it's not a big deal. I needed to get Daniel's attention, and he's still in the hunt here. We're probably we haven't really made a decision yet in terms of who our starting goalie is going to be. We're going to have to make this decision by Thursday. People have been asking me about it, and I thought I'd hold off for another day or so. And so I'd prefer not to give away any secrets tonight, not that it's that big a deal. I would tell you, though, that the freshman boy, Matt Barrett, is also in the hunt here. He's a big kid, and he was rated as the number one goalie, high school goalie, coming out last year. And he's been very impressive in the preseason. And so for us, one of our issues last year was kind of getting big stops in the goal. With Marino, was a very young freshman last year, and mm-hmm. Heller was a relatively inexperienced sophomore. So I've been telling folks that I think we're going to be better. I think we're going to be better in the goal this year, no matter which way we turn, because both Marino and Heller have been better since the beginning of the year, and then adding Barrett to the mix. Just makes us, gives us some more quality depth. So we'll make that decision in a day or so. But I'm encouraged that we're gonna have some good play in the goal. And really and truly in lacrosse, your defense is really only as good as you play in the cage. Because you got guys where they work really hard, but the other team, takes an okay shot and it goes in. It can kind of deflate the whole group a little bit. And so. So you need to have some play in the cage, and I see us in. I think we've been an upgrade no matter what since the beginning of the year, and I expect us to be pretty good there no matter which way we turn ultimately in terms of who we pick to play.
And you've got Mick Parks and Jeff Kratke working the face-off X. How do you feel about those guys this year?
Well, Parks took about 80% of our face-offs last year. LaPierre probably would have taken a significant number last year, but we lost him, and so we didn't have a lot of depth at the position. And so Mick was a little above 50%, which is pretty good for a young kid from Illinois, kind of out there on his own. And so we bring that experience back. He brings all that experience back. And Jeff Kratke, we've got a really hard worker, a tough kid there to, again, add to our depth and give us another good body there. You have LaPierre back. Tyler German took some faceoffs for us late in the year. He's back, so... Kind of like in the goal, we've got experience there, and we've got a little depth now, and so I think we have a chance to be better. And there's no question that LaPierre is probably one of the best short stick face-off wings in the country. And so that just makes us better. And so if we can even just tie up the ball and turn it into a scrum, we got a good chance to get Chris involved. And we have this fifth-year boy from Lynchburg College, Joe Lisicki. And he graduated from Lynchburg a year ago. He was the preseason Division III Defensive Player of the Year, actually, last year. And then he broke his foot and never was able to play. And he had already been admitted to Virginia for a graduate program in accounting over in the comm school. And so when he broke his foot and couldn't get back to play, and he didn't use the year, he called me and said, "Coach, I'm coming anyway. Is there a chance I could come and play for you?" And he's a big, strong, athletic kid. So I think, you know, he helps us also. So again, the face-off, like in the goal, I just feel like we're going to be better, and that'll help us a lot overall.
All right, Coach, last question, and we'll cut you loose. Offense this year, you got Cockerton back, you've got Panel back. Who else are you expecting to provide some scoring for you?
Got some experience in the midfield, with Rob Emery, the older Emery, and Tucker, like you described, a healthy Greg Cohalan. We have a freshman, a Native American young man from Western New York, Zedekiah Williams, and he's somebody to keep an eye on. Cockerton back for his senior year after really kind of, exploding on the national scene as a junior with almost 50 goals, and a healthy James Pinnell right now, who we really needed a year ago, but he got hurt on the same day that LaPierre was hurt in practice and never really returned to form. And, I think the third attackman on Thursday night is likely to be a freshman, Ryan Lukovic, who's a very smart, slick player. Owen Van Arsdale gives us a little depth there, no matter what, at a number of different spots. And so again, we've got to demonstrate that we're ready to make some plays on the attack. We've got to demonstrate that we can get some stops in the goal. But we feel pretty good about the people that we have there and the experience we have overall. I think we're athletic in the middle of the field, and I think we've got some good leadership. So. We got a ways to go and a lot to do, but I like where we are right now, and I like our chances overall.
Coach, very excited about the season. Can't wait. We'll be there for these first couple of games, and wish you the best of luck as always, and good luck getting the kids ready.
Always a pleasure to talk to you guys. It usually means spring is on the way.
Yeah, thank you, Coach.
Okay, thank you.
Take care, Dom. All right, that was Dom Starcia, the head lacrosse coach at Virginia, and. He leads the nation in wins, which is no small feat. All right, I believe we have Chris Horn with us. Chris, are you there?
I'm here.
All right, we've got to pivot quickly here. We're going to talk a little football recruiting, and we can't run through everybody. We do know that we had two Parade All-Americans mentioned in Sunday's paper. Quinn Blanding was an honorable mention, and Andrew Brown, who's already matriculated and in school at Virginia. The defensive tackle was a first-teamer. And talk about last week there was a lot of action with a couple of moderately, lightly recruited linebackers that were offered and accepted. Tell us a little bit about these guys.
Right. Some very intriguing prospects. We'll start with Christopher Peace, who's a, as you mentioned, they're both kind of similar in height and weight. Chris Peace and Corey Jones is the other player I'll get to. Chris is 6'3", 225 or so. He played football throughout high school down in Newport News, but as a senior, that's when he first played primarily on the defensive side of the ball and finished the season with 17 sacks, playing with a hand on the ground. And Virginia sees him as like an outside linebacker type, kind of like a fans that watched the team this past fall, Max Vallis, they would stand him up on occasion. They'd put him with a hand on the ground sometimes. That's what they kind of the coaching staff envisions Christopher Peace playing for them down the road. And then Corey Jones, who's a prospect out of Archbishop Carroll up there in Washington, D.C., he plays in the WCAC conference, which is one of the top football conferences on the East Coast. Certainly a lot of talented programs, DeMatha Catholic, Good Counsel High School. Virginia's had a lot of success recruiting there. And Corey is a very interesting prospect. Did not play football at all until his senior year. Was more of a basketball guy. That was kind of his dream. He told me he had hoop dreams. But he finally gave football a go as a senior. Had 26 sacks as a senior, as a 6'3", 220-pound defensive end. And again, another guy, very athletic. Virginia sees him, again, as an outside linebacker slash defensive end. I imagine one of these guys, you know, may eventually end up putting his hand on the ground more often than not and playing defensive end as opposed to outside linebacker. But both guys who can rush the quarterback, and certainly the two interesting, very interesting prospects, particularly Jones, who his coach is Rick Houchins, who coached Derek Harvey, who's a former Florida Gator out of Maryland, went on to the NFL. And Coach Houchins kind of saw some similarities with Corey Jones and Derek Harvey. And I don't think Coach Houchins is really one to, you know, just to throw names out there. So I think it's pretty impressive and definitely makes it an intriguing get for Virginia.
All right. And we would be remiss if we didn't give the Virginia coaching staff high fives for landing Jameel Kamara. You and I have not talked since Kamara committed. Is everything straight with him and all the other recruits at this point?
I think so. I mean, you never know these days, especially with with signing day approaching. It seems like this is kind of the it's finally here, but it's kind of like it seems like a very slow week up until those letters of intent are faxed in. But at this point, I think all the rest of the guys that have committed are solid. And you know, it seems like, you know, there's been the one and two decommitments this year. Gary Wunderlich, who's a place kicker, committed to Virginia and then switched to Ole Miss. And then Will Richardson, who's an offensive lineman, committed to Virginia and then switched to NC State. That's a pretty significant loss, in my opinion, the offensive lineman. But you know, typically every year you get one or two. And I think given the, assuming all the rest of these guys do sign, I think definitely a tip of the cap to Coach London. I think certainly recruiting is a strong suit of his, particularly coming off such a down season last year. For him to be able to hold on to most of this class, I think is a testament to the way he can recruit.
This Wednesday is National Signing Day. Is it possible or likely that Virginia will make some more noise between now and Wednesday, or on Wednesday with maybe one more commitment?
Yeah, I think they certainly like to. There's a few prospects still out there. Virginia this past weekend hosted Derek Nnadi, four-star defensive tackle, on grounds on an official visit. I still think, if I had to guess, I think Florida State and Virginia Tech are the top two for him. But you never know. We'll see what happens on signing day. He's a kid out of Ocean Lakes High School in Virginia Beach. Virginia was in pretty good position with him early on, but as the process went on, it was, you know, Virginia Tech kind of was the clear favorite, and Florida State made a push. So I think if I had to guess, I'd say Virginia Tech or Florida State. But you know, we'll see. We'll see on Wednesday. There's Vincent.
He is from the beach, though, correct?
He is. Yeah.
So I mean, Andrew Brown and Quinn Blanding and all these guys, Corwin Cutler, they might be working on him with a few tweets here and there, right?
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, those guys are good friends. I think Derek Nnadi, Quinn Blanding, Jameel Kamara, those guys are all pretty tight. I mean, you talked about Kamara, wide receiver. One of his best friends, I think, is Corin Cutler, the quarterback, who's also going to re-sign with Virginia. So those guys are very tight. So I think that's a plus for Virginia. But that being said, I think my feeling right now would be Florida State or Virginia Tech. But we'll we'll see. And if he does,
we'll see, Chris. Chris, we got to run to break here. Got time constraints, but as always, we thank you for your time and information. And needless to say, we'll have you back soon.
Sounds good, guys. Thanks.
All right, Chris Horn from the Sabre. We're going to go to our final break. We'll be back with a couple of minutes. LeClaire Ryan play of the game, a quick Olympic update, and talk about next week's show. Stay tuned.